بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Some days ago I had explained, in order to get the nisbat strengthened with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and two types of efforts are required. One is kasrat al-zikr, consciousness and awareness of Allah ta'ala all the time. The more the awareness of Allah ta'ala, the more the life in his actions, and the easier the abstinence from sin. Wherever we are, Allah ta'ala is with us. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Doesn't insan know that Allah ta'ala is watching him, and he is with you wherever you be. So this is genuinely required in our lives, to bring that consciousness and awareness of Allah ta'ala, and further to bring about life in our actions. One needs to remember, some person was in the Khanqa, was going under some training and discipline from his sheikh. So on his road, he saw some wrong taking place, and he went to put a stop to it. And the sheikh discovered that this is what has happened. So the sheikh reprimanded him. Who asked you to go and stop this? Now if you look at this incident in isolation, then you will say that the sheikh did something wrong. Why? It was Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. And Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar are obligations. Encouraging the good and forbidding the evil, they are obligations. When they are obligations, then he did execute his obligation. He fulfilled his obligation. Then what was the need for the sheikh to reprimand him? There was no need for him to reprimand him. We can't reprimand him for a thing that is obligatory on him. So what Thanvi Sahib Rahmah explains, that really the sheikh had asked him to practice nazar bar qadam, focus your gaze on your feet, on the ground. The sheikh wants to bring about a certain kayfiyat within his student, and the kayfiyat that he wants to create, the feeling that he wants to create, is Allah Ta'ala is watching all the time. So if he can focus his sight in one place, he'll be able to get this type of consciousness and awareness very easily. And if his mind is wandering around, his sight is wandering around all over, then he will not be able to get this type of concentration. This happens in a classroom, you make it out very easily. The one student you have an eye contact with, so you find communication very easy with him. Communication is easy with him. But if the child is watching around, he's looking around all over, right, left, up, down, who's coming, who's going, then the teacher also feels disturbed. He cannot concentrate, he cannot teach as well. He has a problem in conducting the class. So that eye contact is required to build a degree of concentration. And that concentration will bring this consciousness and this awareness. So just as if a teacher is conducting a class and the child is looking at something outside, someone is doing something wrong perhaps, and he's trying to stop him, so the teacher will reprimand him. So you just leave that alone, you do your work now. What will you say there? You will say no, the teacher wanted a certain level of discipline. He wants something in the child. So that is why he stopped him from doing this. Not that he stopped that Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. So here this concept and this kayfiyat is being implanted into the salik, into the student. And in order to create this feeling, he needs a type of focus. So this is quite an important thing when we are out in such an environment, a khanqa environment, then forget our sight, forget our minds, even our sight is not supposed to be distracted. What's happening there, what's happening here, who's coming, who's going. As far as possible, our focus is Allah Ta'ala is watching. So when we practice this all the time, Allah Ta'ala is watching with His greatness, with His qudrat. You know, we need to question ourselves. Sometimes we need to question ourselves. You see, we'll find some verses of the Quran repeated, coming again and again. Repeated, Allah Ta'ala brings those verses. Just now I was thinking, my namaz. See this verse, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And how many places you'll find it? وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَسِيرِ وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَسِيرِ. And you're returning to Allah Ta'ala. إِلَيْنَا وَإِلَيْنَا رَاجِعُونَ. Returning to me. So this verse is repeated all the time, all the time. And then وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah Ta'ala has the power, He has the might over everything. Every atom, everything has the power, right? Now why is this being repeated? If it was just to convey a message, we understood the message. But then why is Allah Ta'ala repeating this all the time? This is a question that we need to understand. Why is this Allah Ta'ala repeating? If you look at this verse here, لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. I think the Quran Sharif, there won't be any exaggeration if this more than 100, 200 times that this thing is repeated. So why is Allah Ta'ala repeating it? He's repeating it that we may have that type of consciousness. See, Allah Pak is though telling you that my servant, why are you wandering around? I'm in control, it's mine, all this is mine. Why are you looking elsewhere for the solutions of your problem when I am the creator, I am the controller, I influence things, I make the decisions. So why is it that your mind is running around? So he's repeating this all the time. Number one. Number two is to show his authority. In a business, the boss has to make it clear to the workers that, see, I'm the boss. He gives suggestions. The worker gave a suggestion. Right? Well and good, you gave a suggestion. But remember that at the end of the day, I am the boss. I will take the decision. You don't take the decision, I will take the decision. This is what the boss is trying to convey to you. I am the boss. When he says, I am the boss, what is he conveying to you? He is conveying to you that when I am in total control, I am responsible, then you don't try to overrule my authority. This is what he's saying. He just says, I am the boss. But what does he mean? What does he imply? By way of inference, he is saying that I am in full authority. I am in full control. I am fully responsible. If you got a problem, you come and refer to me. But then you just take decisions from me. So these are the two things. These are the two things that Allah Ta'ala is conveying to us. One is Allah Pak is in full control. And number two is that you don't need to wander around because it is Allah Ta'ala. He has made everything. He's built everything, He's created everything, all the systems, He's created it. You talk of technology and all that, then it's a small creation of Allah Ta'ala, it's nothing. It is one of the small creation of Allah Ta'ala. Yesterday one brother was here, so he explained that there was an article on there was a program on the radio, and they spoke about the rain. Now this I had heard from a lot of these farmers, I hear the same thing. Now they have to go through that whole research and tahqeeq and all that, and they come to the same conclusion. Whereas I heard this from the farmers. They say that no matter how much you irrigate the crops, but it cannot replenish the soil as good and as well as the rain. Now every farmer will tell you the same thing. He says you irrigate 1 year, and just one rain, One rain will overtake all that 1 year of irrigation. So what does that amount to? What do you understand from this? The maker of this world, the creator of the world, he knows what that earth requires. The exact minerals, whatever it requires, Allah puts it into that rain, and the rain thereafter brings about that type of product. So the maker, the creator, he knows best. Hazrat gave this in a way of an example. Maybe it's an example or maybe it's a true story. He says, one person learnt an amal. What amal he learnt? He learnt an amal to make a lion. So if he reads that amal, then with that reading of that amal, there will be a lion that will be formed. See? There will be a lion that will be formed. So he read that amal, and that lion was formed. Now that lion was formed, now the lion is asking, I want food. And that person doesn't have the type of food to offer the lion. So, well, then I want to eat you then. And the lion is speaking now that jo banane wala hota hai, wo khilane wala bhi hota hai. The one that makes, then he must provide. The one that makes, he must provide. So when Allah Ta'ala says, I make, I do everything, then he is doing everything. He went on to say, the same person went on to say, that this thunder and lightning, don't consider it as just some scientific thing and waste of time. No, he says that soil requires nitrogen, and that thunder and lightning provides all that, and better than all the supplements that we have to provide for that soil. So this is nothing, really it's nothing. Allah has been doing it all the time. Now it took them so many years to investigate, put it through a process, all that. Eventually they came to the same conclusion. But Allah has been doing it all the time. There is no solution for this type of people who defy the presence of Allah Ta'ala. They defy it openly. See, this is what brings the anger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. One person is telling a small joke, you know. Says the teacher is an atheist. So he says, Jim, go outside. What do you see? I see a tree. What else you see? I see grass. Do you see God anywhere? No, I don't see. Then there's no God. So the other student, he stands up. Teacher, can I ask a question? He said, yes. So he asked Jim again. Again, Jim is the punching bag. So they asked Jim again. Jim, what do you see outside? I see the grass. What else you see? I see the tree. What do you see before you? I see the teacher. Do you see his brains? No. The teacher has no brains. That means seeing, if he says that because you can't see it, he doesn't exist, so you can't see his brains, so the brain doesn't exist. Understand? So this is stupidity, this is naivety, stupidity, and calculated corruption. Corruption, but a calculated way of corrupting people's minds. So, when we need to get this consciousness, this awareness of Allah Ta'ala, then this awareness of Allah Ta'ala, not just Allah Ta'ala is watching, but Allah Ta'ala with His greatness, supremacy, majesty, He is the creator, He is the maker. Now, with that tasawwur, that imagination, we need to have this awareness all the time. In namaz, He is the maker, He is the provider, He is the doer. He provides the izzat and He takes away izzat. He provides the wealth and He takes away wealth. He provides تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. کل کا قیدی آج کا بادشاہ بن جاتا ہے. Yesterday's prisoner becomes today's king. So we see this all with our eyes. We see this with our eyes. And the doer is some supreme creator. Right? His work is evident, is visible, but he himself we do not see. Right? But his work is evident. We all see. This is the work, the handiwork of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they say that you need to bring about this awareness, you have this few days, 9, 8, 10 days, whatever Allah Ta'ala knows best. But these days this exercise is required of us, so that this feeling is so firmly embedded, instilled in our heart, that once we go out, we still have that consciousness, that awareness, that consciousness. You see, when they speak about ihsan, bring ihsan in ibadat, that level of ibadat where we see as though we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? This is what is known as ihsan. Ihsan literally means to make something better, to improve it, to beautify it, right? And let me tell you, anything for that matter, without that beauty, it doesn't have that price, it doesn't have that value. Now you imagine this whole building, right? This whole building without all the finishes, no lights, no fans, no painting, absolutely no plastering, right? No windows, no electricity, no lights, no water. Will you want to come and live in such a place? You'll feel it's a haunted place. So that beauty actually brings about the value of the place. Imagine a home, a house that doesn't have all this, no doors, no lights. It's a house, no lights, nothing, no finishes. Will you want to pay a rent to stay in such a place? No. So similarly, that structure of your ibadat, what brings about the beauty? This is the thing that brings about that value, that consciousness, that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This brings about that beauty into that action. That beauty that is required, the type of life that is required, the sifat of ihsan brings about that beauty, that life, and that type of attraction in that ibadat. Now you see that ibadat and you are attracted. What is this person doing? And one is, the person is just up, down, up, down, up, down. So really that ibadat doesn't bring about that attraction. But the one who's got that consciousness and that awareness in that ibadat of his really is beautiful and enjoyable to him. And if anybody sees it, he's attracted. Though you don't do it with that intention, at the airport you're performing namaz, that everybody may be attracted. No, you do it for Allah Ta'ala. That ibadat will become an invitation on its own. But you do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't do it for any other reason. That's not your whole... You'll have a conflict of interest. I'm doing it for Allah ta'ala, or am I doing it for someone else? Am I doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or am I doing it for someone else? Just now, that whole interest will be... There will be a conflict in that interest. So this is that one mindset that we need to create in this duration all the time. Allah ta'ala is watching. Whether we are in the cubicle, whether we are in namaz, whether we are in zikr, whether we are in ta'lim, etc. Even in ta'lim, even in this halqa, that consciousness, Allah ta'ala is watching with His supremacy, with His greatness. He is watching. So once we have trained our minds, we have jogged our minds, we have exercised our minds, with this type of awareness, when we go out of this type of environment, then inshallah this remains with us. Then for us to attempt to commit any wrong becomes difficult, really. We have implanted this concept, this feeling, very deeply within our hearts. It's deep within our hearts. Now, how can I do such a thing? Allah Ta'ala is watching me. Allah Ta'ala, He is my provider. He is. This Anbiya Ali Musallatu Wasallam, they say themselves that if I go against Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who will take care of me? Anbiya say that if I go against Him in Asaytuhu, was that ayat? In Asaytuhu. فَمَنْ يَرْزُقُنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ. If I ever break the command of Allah Ta'ala, then who is going to provide for me? Who is going to take care of me? See that consciousness, that awareness, that Allah Ta'ala is the provider. If I'm going to break His command, if I'm going to flout His command, then what will be left of me? So in every walk of our life, every department, every moment, every second, this type of feeling, this type of concentration, this must be... We need to train ourselves. We need to train ourselves. It's like a training. It's an exercise. Our minds are so weak, you see, so weak and vulnerable. So remember, this mind is very weak and very vulnerable. It's very powerful also on the one end. It can do a lot of things. But it is very vulnerable as well. See, you just put your mind on to one person, right, or one friend of yours, right? You thought of that one friend. Now your mind starts having the better over you. You know, what is he doing? Where is he gone to? Why didn't he tell me? And what wrong have I done? You know, how can he be so uncouth with this relationship of his? Now I'll show him. I will have an occasion also, and I will fix him up, put him in his place. Now your mind is gone in one tangent. Wrong. It's gone right through. Then after an hour you realize, hey, but I'm standing before Allah Ta'ala. Main Khuda ke samne khara hu. After 1 hour you come to that conclusion. So you need to put yourself into that type of training that Allah is watching. Remind yourself all the time. Definitely at the beginning you will encounter some difficulty. You are thinking and your mind is drifting on. You are thinking and your mind is drifting away. It's moving away. You will encounter some difficulty. But if there's no challenge in this world, will this world be enjoyable? Everything is just working out. Everything is working out. Will this world ever be enjoyable? You ask any, a lot of professional people come here. So they say, I want to go into this. This is a challenge for me. It's a challenge for me. They want to see some challenge. They want to just a stereotype, routine type of work. They don't want to see it. But there's a challenge, something new coming up. They feel much more better doing it, going into it. It's a challenge. So as I say, if there's no challenge, then is dunya mein dunya ki lazzat bilkul khatam ho jati hai. Everything. You just thought of learning mantik, for example, 1 second child, mantik learned. Thought of learning surf, half a second, the whole surf, everything came right. Then that's jannat. But dunya aur jannat mein kya fark hoga? Jannat will happen like that. You just think of something, though it's happening straight away. You thought of having a child, the way you were with your family, and before you can open your eyes, though, you see the child is born, the child is fully grown up. Now that is Jannat. There is no challenge there. Challenge is here, and that's why we like that type of challenge. A little bit of difficulty, a little bit of hardship. Apart from that, when there is a challenge, you appreciate things. A little bit of difficulty, you know, I got this, I earned this, but a little bit of difficulty. I work for it, I strive for it. They say, one person had a pair of shoes worth 10 rands and a shawl, silk, pure silk shawl, 5,000 rands. See, pure silk, very expensive. And you know how you get istabraq. One is istabraq and you get dibaj and different types, different qualities of silk, right? So the finest silk is very, very expensive. So 5,000 rands silk shawl and 10 rand shoes. So he pulled out the shawl and he's shining his shoe. By apka dimag sahi hai, your screws are all right, mind is right. So now, really, what happened was that the shoes I bought, or ye to miras mein mila, this I inherited. So when you get free of charge, you aren't appreciative of. You're not bothered about it. But what you worked for, you appreciate, you value, you would look after, you would take care. So this world will have the challenges. حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَيُّتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah Pak says it in various places in the Quran. ذَلِكْ وَلَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَنْتَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ وَلَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَنْتَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. Allah Ta'ala, had Allah Ta'ala wanted, He could have crushed all the kuffar one shot. لَنْتَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ. He could have come to the defense and the assistance of the believers, and you could have quelled and defeated the kuffar one shot, 1 second, and have finished them. وَلَاكِ لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. But Allah Ta'ala puts you into this trial to see your mettle. Now, what is the mettle? What is that level of sincerity, dedication, devotion, commitment, all that? Man wants to see that. Mustafa Rahman used to say, one man came complaining about his son, you know, ye mera bacha, or ये बहुत ही नाफरमानी करता है अपनी माँ बाप की बहुत नाफरमानी करता है especially his mother was being disobedient. So I'll explain one incident. He says, how can you be disobedient to your mother? You know what is the heart of the mother? He explained this incident. So the youngster fell in love with the girl, whatever it was. So the girl wants to test out his love. He says, I won't believe that you are true and committed in your love. I won't believe you. See, she also wants to try it out. See, a small little girl that just came yesterday in your life, and she wants to try you out. Allah Ta'ala, doesn't He deserve trying you out? Doesn't He also want, doesn't He need to try you out? Girl just came in your life, and she's not the provider. She's just bringing a little bit of satisfaction to your feelings, to your sentiments. That's all, nothing else. And then you can make such big sacrifices for her. A little bit of calmness, a little bit of satisfaction. But you feel that she deserves so much of attention, that everything you can give away for her. And here, the one that gave you everything, life, existence, intelligence, understanding, intellect, position, respect, wealth, everything, you can't name a thing that Allah hasn't given you. Even that feeling of love was the creation of Allah, even that feeling to love. So he says, no, I don't believe that you really love me. He says, no, I really love you. You can try me out. He says, no, alright, I will try you out. What you do is you pull out the heart of your mother and bring it on a tray. Bring it on a tray. No, I'm going to do it. He pushed his mother down, slayed her, slit her abdomen, pulled out her stomach, or pulled out her, what do you call it, heart, whatever it is, kept it on a tray, and he's coming to his girlfriend. Just to show that, see, my love for you is a love of commitment. It's not just a love, ordinary love. On the way, he stumbles and he falls down. That heart speaks, Beta, tujhe koi chot to nahi aaya. That you aren't you hurt? In spite of all that, that mother's love is irreplaceable. It's irreplaceable. So what I'm showing here is, in this world we have to strive. Whatever it is, you have to strive for it. Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says, Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, his ustad, explained that hadith, that there will be a creation. See, when Jannat will complain that there is still ample room in me, there is ample room in me, and I need to be occupied. So Allah Ta'ala will create a creation, and He will fill Jannat up with that creation. So Mawlana says that I asked Mawlana, my Ustad, Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah, that how good it would have been that we be that creation. We could have been just that creation, just been created and thrown into Jannat, you know, ushered into Jannat straight away. All this rigmarole, this difficulty, problems, go and hunt for a job, then learn a skill, listen to all the nonsense of people, death, calamities, you know, separation of friends, beloved, near and dear people being thrown from one part of the world to the other part of the world, or the type of emotional stress that you go through, trauma, all that. So you could have been just created and ushered into Jannah straight. Mawlana says, in logo ko kya maza aayegi, kya qadr hogi. That creation that will be created like that, what enjoyment and what appreciation will they have? They won't value anything, because they didn't go through the mill, all that difficulty that the rest of the people, humanity had gone through. They hadn't gone to anything. And this is my conclusion, if it's right, then from Allah Ta'ala. That is why the hadith says, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ ابْتِلَانْ الْأَنْبِيَا. Anbiya will be in the highest positions in Jannat. So therefore, their trial is the most severe in this world, because they are posted to the highest position. وَأُبْتُلِيتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُبْتَلَ أَحَدٍ. And to the extent that I was tried out, Rasulullah was saying, to the extent that I was put into difficulty, nobody went through that type of difficulty. Now Allah Ta'ala doesn't love us that He's put us through the difficulty. He loves us. He loves us. But there's a wisdom behind Him placing us into difficulties. So similarly, we are exercising the mind to bring this type of awareness. Like I say, ihsan. Ihsan is to beautify, to make something look well, good. Right? So it's a lot of difficulty. You ask any builder, say the finishing touches takes the most of time, most of the time, and the most money it takes. The finishing touches, most time, and it's the most expensive. And The owner also say, this is not right. This tile here, well, it's not right. But it will still serve the purpose. The tile was there so that the water doesn't seep through, right? Doesn't seep through the wall. No, I don't want to listen to your explanations, but that tile is not put right. Take everything out, replace it. It's very onerous work, very, very difficult work. Very, very difficult. That finishing touches is difficult work. So similarly, to bring about this hasan, this kayfiyat that Allah Ta'ala is watching me all the time, this is not an easy thing. But you begin to appreciate things when you've been through some difficulty, some pain, you strive for it, you worked for it, and you got it, then will you appreciate it. So that is why I say that this is a little bit a difficult one. It's bringing that value to you, it's bringing that value to your ibadat. Imagine now that ibadat of yours was 2 rands, now it's being multiplied to 2 million rands. You know, they talk about, I don't know if it's true or not, they speak about this, in India they speak about it, Urdu folklore, you know, they have it, speak in poetry, they talk about an oyster, right? They say that oyster opens its mouth, whatever it is, and if it's raining and that one droplet falls into it, right, that droplet is converted, transformed into a pearl, right? So the droplet of rain, before it could enter into that oyster, it was nothing, right? Anyone will purchase it? No. But now that it's transformed into a pearl, now what's the value? That musk, right? It was the blood of a gazelle, right? It was the blood of a gazelle. If that blood stains your hand, it's worth nothing, right? But after some process, that thing is converted into musk. Now, for a gram, you'll pay perhaps 500 rands. Just for a gram of pure musk, you know, you'll pay 500 rands. Just that 1 gram of blood. Otherwise, now that blood is worth nothing. You can throw it out. It will stain your clothing. It'll look dirty. It'll look filthy. But now it's a very, very expensive commodity. So that ibadat of yours, you want to bring that value to that ibadat, then definitely it requires that consciousness, that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the sahaba in Fazail al-Zikr, al-Shaykh has got the hadith. Which mujahid is the best? Al-Dhakirin Allah Kathira, the one who remembers Allah Ta'ala most. And which rozadar, which fasting person is the best? Whose fast is the best? Who's got the greatest remembrance of Allah Ta'ala in his fast. In his fast also, but his fast is supported, it is beautified with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And whose namaz is best? Who's got the same awareness, his consciousness. So this consciousness, this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should permeate our lives, should prevail over us so much that we don't forget him for a second. Even if you are going to sleep, even in that state, as the eyes are just going, just closing, then too, if we can't say it verbally, our minds must remember Allah ta'ala. Our minds must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Apart from everything else, so they say, kama tamutuna tahyuna. In the way that you die, will you get up? It's like an experience. You'll find that what you've been thinking about at night, you know, you're discussing or think about, in the morning you get up that same state, with the same fikr, with the same concern, same type of thoughts begin to play in your mind. So if you are going to sleep, and the last thing that had been playing in your mind was Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, thought about his forgiveness, or gratitude, whatever, whichever way, but of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of his favors, for example, something that can be pleasing to your mind, to your heart. See, people at different level will remember Allah Ta'ala in different ways. At the beginning, you will think about his favors perhaps. If you can't take the punishment and the warnings, you can't take it, it's too much for you, then take his blessings. The idea is you need to think of Allah Ta'ala. How you get there, that is of your own choice. You can come there through warnings and punishments, etc., or through blessings and favors. If this route is difficult, come through this route. If the route of the grave or the route of the fire is a little bit difficult for you, you can't take that route to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then take the root of Jannat, the pleasures, Hurur, Qusur, you know, all the pleasures of Allah Ta'ala, what He's got for you. Think about that, but you need to reach up, you need to come here. Take the garden route. If you can't take the other Sahara, the desert route, take the garden route. But you'll come to Cape Town, inshallah. This is the idea, to bring this awareness, this consciousness, this realization, this understanding. And it must be firmly implanted. You know, it's such a, to bring it to such a level that for a second you don't forget His beauty, His grandeur, His favors. How can I do this? And how will Allah take it? How we need to understand it amongst ourselves is, for example, you know, with a lot of battle and a lot of strife and difficulty, eventually your proposal was accepted. Imagine your proposal was accepted. You were mad over the girl, whatever it is. Nothing is happening. You tried, influence, recommendation, ta'weez, everything. Eventually, it struck. Eventually, it struck, right? Now, when it strikes after so much of difficulty, how appreciative you'll be of that confirmation, eh? Won't you be? All right. And in the street of your beloved, will you do anything stupid? Will you do anything that is doubtful, of a doubtful character, doubtful nature? Go and shout there in the street. Will you do it? Or you see another woman there, will you go and just make salam to her also? In fact, you'll be so scared that someone sees you just near that girl. Maybe you're going on that street, when you're passing her, they'll already hold you in doubt and suspicion. You mustn't see me in this state. So you'll be so careful. Hey, with a lot of difficulty, a lot of battle, a lot of qurbani, a lot of sadqah, everything, a lot of dua and tahajjud and whatever. And eventually it came right. Now I must appreciate this. So more than all this is the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We propose to love Allah ta'ala, right? So this proposal is just getting confirmed. Now think to yourself, inshallah, this proposal is getting confirmed. Now how conscious I need to be, how aware I need to be, and how watchful I need to be of my move. It mustn't happen that I compromise this relationship. This muhabbat that I want to purchase from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want, and I'm begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, am I appreciative of that muhabbat? Am I going to look after that? Am I going to take care of it? He'll give it to me. But he wants to know from me that, do you appreciate my love? Do you appreciate me? Do you appreciate my love? Or you just take it casually, insignificantly, one of those things. I will give it to you, but you appreciate my love, my loyalty, my love, and I will give it to you. Allah Ta'ala ke khazana mein koi kisi kisam ki kami hai? Is there any type of deficiency in the treasures of Allah Ta'ala? If there is a deficiency, really, it's within us. It's not within Allah Ta'ala. Yeah, unke khazana mein to koi kami nahi. So we did not show that level of gratitude, that level of appreciation, that level of loyalty we haven't shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then we are bargaining and we are asking Allah, I want this, I want this. Allah says, right, you want this, then bring that type of vessel that can contain my love. Now you bring a container, either it's got all type of contaminated things, pollution, and you bring it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you expect? Will Allah ta'ala give it to you in that type of vessel and container? It's already polluted. There's some contamination, pollution. And you want to put a pure thing, the purest of things, the love of Allah Ta'ala, you want to bring it there. How can it go together? It can't come together. Every person has some ghairat, isn't it? He has a self-esteem, self-respect. We talk about the self-esteem. Don't we talk of self-esteem? There was a news that Ali radiallahu ta'ala is proposing for Abu Jahl's daughter. Famous hadith, all of us know about it. Right? He's proposing for Abu Jahl's daughter. Rasulullah was not at all happy with this. And he says something to this effect, meaning of the hadith, I don't declare any halal thing as haram. But the daughter of the friend of Allah Ta'ala, the daughter of the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala, and the daughter of the enemy of Allah Ta'ala can't be in one single marriage. On the one end is the daughter of the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala, Fatima, right? and the other end is the daughter of the enemy, Abu Jahl. So both of them cannot come in one person's marriage at one and the same time. If Ali wants, then he may divorce Fatima and take Abu Jahl's daughter in his marriage. Because Hazrat Fatima won't be able to tolerate this, manage this. So a man also cannot tolerate. He's got some self-esteem of himself. He can't manage this thing. So Allah Ta'ala, doesn't he also deserve some type of self-esteem? The greatest self-esteem. In every ibadah says, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. All greatness, majesty, grandeur, everything, magnanimity, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say it all the time, it belongs to him. He doesn't deserve it, but it belongs to him. It is his right, it is his prerogative. When it is his prerogative, then you need to show that you can manage, you can cope, you can take care of it. You can't take care of it and then you are begging for that. You're not showing the type of appreciation, the type of loyalty, and then you're asking for that. You're asking Allah Ta'ala's love, no, Allah Ta'ala, give me your love. And then the next moment, person is going on the street, he saw a beautiful girl, you see. So the girl observed that this person is following. So what happened? So now I'm your lover. So now just turn around, you'll find my sister that's even more beautiful. So he went to turn around like a stupid, and she gave one shot. So that's how you say you're mad over me. If you are mad over me, then you would have turned towards my sister. Shows that you're not true in your love. If you are committed to my love, then you wouldn't have done this. So Allah Ta'ala also wants to know that you are you true? Are you committed to his love? If you'll be committed to his love, he'll give it to you. He's got no deficiency, no shortage, nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that can hold him back. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt. We say this after namaz. Wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at. What you bless, O Allah Ta'ala, nobody can hold back. And what you hold back, nobody can give. Wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi min kal jadd. And nobody's efforts mean anything. They mean nothing in your presence. The effort will not take you anywhere without his permission. He must decide and things will work. He doesn't decide, it doesn't work. So your effort, no matter how hard you worked, what you did, it will only be productive with his consent, with his approval. He must approve and you will find that effort of yours is becoming productive, is showing some results. So in brief, this is that kayfiyat, that feeling, that type of faith that we need to instill within our hearts. Allah is watching his grandeur, his greatness. When you read in the Quran Sharif or some of the verses of the Quran Sharif that we know already, like Aman al Rasul, right? Lillahi ma fi samawati wal ard. Normally we read this before sleeping, right? So again we remind ourselves and refresh our faith that everything belongs to him. He's in control, supreme control, majesty. And I need to keep this in my mind when I get up also. I need to keep this in mind. When he's the maker, he's the provider. So I need to keep this in my mind all the time. I mustn't forget this. I remind myself in the morning, I remind myself in the evening. The Jamaat will say the same things, but from a different perspective. They'll say it like this, perhaps, that nobody does. America can't do, bomb can't do, nothing can do, Allah Ta'ala does, right? So the same thing, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything belongs to Allah Ta'ala. He is the doer, he is the controller, he is the authority, he is the final authority. His consent is approval. His consent and his approval is existence. And his non-approval is no existence. He must approve for something, for that thing to exist, for that thing to come about. So this is what is required. And this is the type of feeling, the type of kayfiyat, the type of thing that we need to implant into our hearts. Allah is watching. Allah Ta'ala mujhe dekh rahe hai. Now we hear this type of stories, you know. The stories also are meant for this very kayfiyat to be created within us. So we hear, maybe most of us may have heard a story. The person came and the sheikh was showing this person a lot of attention. So the rest of the students now became a little bit envious, obviously. Became envious that why is the sheikh showing him so much of attention. and he's not showing the type of attention to us. So the Shaykh called for some roosters, whatever it is, and he gave each one a rooster, fowl, go and slaughter it in a place where nobody sees you. Within 5-10 minutes, everybody brought the rooster, they brought it back. But this person, one person, he didn't bring it. The same person that they were envying, he didn't bring it. He didn't bring it slaughtered. By tera kya ho gaya? Sab to apne murgh ko zabah karke le aaye. Aap kyun nahi laaye zabah karke? Everybody slaughtered the animal and brought it. What prevented you? He said, I couldn't find a place where I wasn't being watched. Everywhere I was going, this corner. Why? I mean, they could find places. He said, no, everywhere I was being watched. I was being watched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that consciousness, that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now when this awareness of Allah ta'ala comes deeply within us, then it will show itself in every department of our lives. Now we are on the road, right? On the road. Showing it, relating it in our circumstance, our situation, our halat. Now there's a beautiful girl, hair is flapping and she's driving in a Merc. Right? Now you need to appease yourself. I need to watch what I'm driving, how I'm driving. Result. This now, there'll be an accident just now. Someone's life will be taken, so I need to see. In the meanwhile, you're appeasing yourself. Within your heart, what it is, what's there in your heart? I need to steal some glances. It's something I didn't see, you know. And had I only got something like this. So, your mind is working. You're activating your mind on that line. But now if you know that Allah Ta'ala knows the secret of the heart, what you are really contemplating, what you are concealing, what you are hiding, then you won't do this. You look at the road as per necessity. And beyond necessity, you won't look. Beyond the scope of need, you're not going to look. You'll look just for the need. You're walking on the street, you're walking to a shopping mall, whatever it is. They also know, I need to know where I'm walking, etc. But just to the point of need, not beyond the point of need. Just within the scope of need, I need to see, not beyond the scope of need. There's one lengthy incident, some other time I'll explain it. It happened recently, I'll show you this consciousness, awareness, see. One very top qualified nurse, she sent a question now just a few days ago. In logo ke sawalat se, lot of things open up. They send questions and a lot of examples come to the mind. She's very qualified, she's given all the whatever, but now she got a problem. She says that I complained about the doctor that works above me. You know, the doctor, I work with him, but she complained. What was the nature of the complaint? The nature of the complaint was there was some type of breach of confidentiality. Now, big, bari bari baat hai, breach of confidentiality. Kya bara bari baat hai. Small things in English, certainly. Koi zina karta ho, to marital infidelity. Bhai, saaf saaf keh do ke zina kar diya, khatam ho gaya. Marital infidelity, itni bari baat. Someone is sweeping the street now, they call it street technician. Yeh bhi technician ho gaya. Jaru dene wala bhi. Yeh bhi technician ho gaya. They come out of some crazy things, people. Anyway, what I liked was this, the consciousness that she had. And she wasn't ashamed of that consciousness. She says, I went and reported this doctor, but really, what prompted me to report this doctor is, I had a personal vendetta for this doctor that was working with me. I had some personal grudge against him, and I had to take it out somehow. So what he did was wrong. It was a breach of confidentiality. How it happened was, he wrote the report of the patient that this person is like this, whatever. And he left it perhaps at the reception. And others may have come into the reception and read the report of that particular patient. So this was a breach of confidentiality. I went and reported it to the seniors. Maybe it was a hospital environment, whatever it was. But what caught my admiration was this, that she is conscious of Allah Ta'ala and her very, very subtle, deep intention. On the surface, it looks very well. That no, it was a breach of confidentiality and someone's respect. Kisi ka izzat chala ja raha hai. I was going to report it, going to straighten it up. It was my daughter, whatever, what would have happened, you know. But ریئلی اندر دل کے اندر ایک قسم کا چور تھا. چور کیا تھا کہ آئی وانٹ ٹو وینڈٹ آؤٹ دس پرسن ہیئر, آئی نیڈ ٹو گو اینڈ رپورٹ ہیم. سو دس کانشیسنس اینڈ اویئرنس آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی ول شو اٹ سیلف ان ایوری ڈپارٹمنٹ آفٹر ورڈز. آئی روٹ دیٹ یو پٹ یور سیلف ان ٹو اے سچویشن, اف فار ایگزامپل دا ڈاکٹر ابو یو واز ویری کلوز اینڈ یو آر ویری ویری ریسپیکٹفل, ویری اپریشیٹو, اینڈ یو ہیلڈ ہیم ان اسٹیم اینڈ آنر, would you have reported him as well? Never, I wouldn't have reported him. So that means ke dil mein kuch aur tha, dal mein kuch kala tha, there was something wrong somewhere. So when this awareness of Allah Ta'ala comes, then it will show itself everywhere, everywhere, in the presence of people, in the absence of people, in your business, wherever you are, whichever department of your life. But it's going to show out. You are dealing with that person, and poor chap is a villager, he doesn't know much, and you could easily take away 500,000 from him easily. But you got that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person yesterday asked, also some letter had come, so he writes there that we knew the whole store, how it works, you see. So I want an article, what I do, I knew the whole setup, how it's worked and all that, and how easy to change that price label, you know, the price tag, just from 40 rands to about 20 rands. How to do it, I knew that whole system. For 10 years I was doing it in that particular store, you know. But now this realization has come to me that that label, price label, price tag, I was changing from 40 rand to 20 rands. But now, this happened to some store, this chain stores, you have these checkers and all that, right? But that checker group, whichever group has been bought by a bigger conglomerate. Now what do I do? See this awareness of Allah Ta'ala, deep. It's within a lot of people. But some, there are very few people that give expression to this, that, alright, I got this now, I got this wrong, what do I do? I've been doing this all the years, 10 years, whatever I was doing all this. Now I come to my senses, but what do I do? How do I rectify it? How do I correct myself? اللہ تعالیٰ توفیق نصیب کرے.